Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the preaching of the word today. We're asking for the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're praying for understanding, and we're praying for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're praying, Lord, for utterance in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We were sharing last week about faith. Amen. The ABCs of faith, or the basics of faith. And what I'm doing is sharing with you different aspects of faith. And in particular, I am sharing with you five areas of your life where you will need to apply faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. So faith, by definition, does not depend on tangibles. Hallelujah. Does not depend on something you can see, or something you can touch, or something you can feel. Do you understand? So when someone asks you, how can you believe in a God you don't see? The answer is, that's exactly what faith is. Hallelujah. Faith is having evidence or being convinced about something that you cannot see. Hallelujah. Being convinced about something you cannot touch, something you cannot see, but just, and something you don't really have any earthly reason to be sure of, and yet which you are sure of. Hallelujah. You don't really have any particular reason. Most of you came into this room and walked straight up to the chair and just sat on it, having faith that it would hold you. Did anybody check to see if the chair you were going to sit on was loose? Did you check the seats before you sat on it? Yeah, you didn't. But you just walked in and dropped your body on that seat, having faith that it was going to keep you. And it did. Hallelujah. It did what a seat is supposed to do, and that's how faith is. Amen. So faith is having confidence. It says, it is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. As our world advances and continues to develop, we are beginning to see less and less people living by faith. Hallelujah. And many believers are ceasing to live or walk by faith, even though the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Because of advancement in technology and advancement in knowledge and so many things that we have come into, you know, people are finding it less and less convenient or even sensible to live by faith. Do you understand? We are being turned into people who live by logic and who live only by what we can see, feel, and touch, and live by what makes sense to us. And if it doesn't make sense, then we cannot apply to our lives, or we cannot accept to live by it. Hallelujah. But God wants us to live by faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So every chance we get, we must try to walk by faith in order to exercise our faith. Otherwise, what the Bible calls the evil heart of unbelief will creep upon us. Let me show you that verse. The evil heart of unbelief. It's in the book of right there, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hallelujah. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Hallelujah. Take heed means watch out. Hallelujah. He says, watch out, because otherwise there will be found in any of us, you know, it says, an evil heart of unbelief. You would have thought that if God was referring to an evil heart, then he would have something like adultery or idolatry or fornication or stealing or murder or something like that in mind. But can you believe that God refers to unbelief as evil? That it is an evil thing to be a person without faith. Wow. Hallelujah. It is an evil thing before God to be someone who does not walk by faith. No wonder the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hallelujah. So the one thing you can never do without as a Christian is faith. Amen. And that is why you and I must embrace every opportunity and actually look for opportunities to exercise our faith. Because as we continue, even as the Lord himself blesses us, as God blesses us, you're going to find that a lot of things you used to look up to him in faith for, you are not going to be using faith anymore to do. So you have to embrace new opportunities to exercise your faith. See, let's say, for example, if God was to bless you financially, you're going to find that a lot of things you used to pray about, pray for money to do, you're not going to need to pray those prayers anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. If you used to have, let's say, an old car, and every time to go from A to B, you need to pray that the car will make it. Do you see? To go from one place to another, you would pray that, oh Lord, may you touch this car. Before you get into the car, you lay hands on the hood, then you go to the back of it and you lay hands on the trunk and you touch every one of the tires and you speak by faith, confess a positive alignment of the wheels and the axles and everything, and declare that this car is moving from A to B safely by grace. Then comes the day when the Lord blesses you with your brand new car. Wow. Do you see? Now, when the brand new car comes your way, suddenly you don't need faith for all these things anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? You just believe that when you get into this car and start driving it, it will go. And the reason is not because you trust God, is because it's new. Are you following what I'm saying? So you would have lost an opportunity now to exercise your faith. Hallelujah. So it's not a bad thing, but then you need to keep yourself exercised in faith. It is like a person who buys a car. You know, a person who buys a car has now put himself in a situation where you're going to miss many opportunities to walk. Do you see? But walking is good for you. Do you understand? But the fact that walking is good for you doesn't mean you shouldn't have a car. But then you should recognize that now that I have a car, I have fewer opportunities to walk. So I need to create those opportunities and I need to seize them and I need to choose them intentionally so I can keep myself exercised and healthy, and so that the car that I have does not become a curse to me, but rather a blessing to my life. Are you following what I'm saying? And that is how we use our faith. So when God blesses you such that you do not, let's say you used to be sick and God heals you. So when God heals you, it means now you don't need to be in the healing line anymore. But now you need to find another way of exercising your faith. You need to reach out for something else. And that is why people will on purpose park their car, let's say, at the far end of the parking lot, so that they can walk all the way to the building. Or that's why a person will get into a building and see the elevator and walk past it and take the stairs. Because you are trying intentionally to keep yourself physically exercised so that you can benefit from that. So you can stay exercised and stay fit. And faith is like that. Hallelujah. So we must not run away from opportunities to exercise our faith. We must not always be looking for a way, a logical way out, or a human way out, or some kind of provision that makes us not have to depend on God. Hallelujah. We must always seize every opportunity we have to trust in God. Because otherwise, the Bible says, an evil heart of unbelief is going to creep upon you and I. Amen. An evil heart of unbelief. Before long, we'll realize that we don't believe in God anymore. We don't believe anything anymore. Because our whole environment is getting colder and colder towards God. People are getting colder and colder towards God. People are getting less and less interested in God. People are beginning to reduce everything down to a science. People feel that if you can explain it, there is no need for faith. If science can explain it or something, whatever it is, if whether it's science or just simple logic or whatever, if it can be explained by a human being, then it need not be of faith. Hallelujah. But our understanding is not supposed to be a substitute for faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Which means having understanding is not supposed to replace our trust in the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Having understanding, or understanding how something works, or why something is the way it is, or how a situation comes to be, is not supposed to replace trusting in the Lord. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. Hallelujah. God knows you have understanding. God knows you understand some things. You understand how a car works. You understand how your body works. But He wants you still to trust Him. Hallelujah. He wants you still to trust Him. God wants you never to put your faith aside, but to have faith, constant faith in Him, and be constantly reaching out on purpose and intentionally, knowing that as a just person, you will live by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The day we stop living by faith, or the day we stop trusting God, that's the day when our Christian life begins to die. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to have faith. That is why starting a new church is a great blessing. Amen. Because right there, we have an opportunity to have faith. Do you see what I'm saying? We have an opportunity to exercise ourselves in our faith. Hallelujah. There are some people, or when a church grows up to a certain place or a certain size, you don't need faith to know who is going to come or not. But when a church is this size, you need faith to know he's going to come. He's going to come. Is he going to come? It's 10:45. Where is she? Is she coming today? That's faith. You have to exercise your faith. And you find your faith just pumping itself like that until you find the place getting fuller and fuller and fuller with time. And I see this place getting fuller and fuller and fuller every day. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you need to have faith. You need to have faith for your business. You need to have faith for your future. You need to have faith for your Christian life. You need to believe God. You need to, and when it's no longer challenging for you, you need to set a new goal that challenges your faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying that, you know, before maybe you used to walk, but now God has blessed you with a car. Great. So now you need to create the opportunity to walk intentionally. Hallelujah. That's why people go to a gym and get on a treadmill and walk 5 miles standing in the same place. Because you want to create an opportunity. You do not want the blessing of having a car to rob you of the benefit of exercising that you get from walking. Hallelujah. And so we must not allow the blessings that God has given us. It's a great blessing to be healthy. But that you must not allow that to rob you of the opportunity to exercise your faith in God in the area of trusting Him for good health. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why you need to find people who are sick and pray for them. That is why when you meet someone who is sick, you must seize the opportunity to exercise your faith. Hallelujah. Because God has blessed you with good health. But you need to retain your ability to trust Him for healing. So how are you going to do that? You need to see Him heal somebody else. Otherwise, then you must pray for Him to make you sick. And since you're not going to do that, then when you see someone who is sick, you need to take the opportunity to exercise your faith. You need to say, this is my chance. You need to say, this is an opportunity to grow my faith. This is an opportunity to exercise myself in what I believe. And you need to pray for that person. And the Bible says a prayer of faith will save that sick person. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So there must be faith. That's right. There must be faith. We have to go back to living by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Where is that? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Amen. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So he's not talking about the just having a couple of breakthroughs by faith. He's not talking about the just maybe getting healed by faith. He's not talking about the just, you know, making some money by faith. But he's saying your very life ought to be a life of faith. Amen. You must wake up every day having something you are living or trusting God for, looking up to God for something. Hallelujah. Some area in your life must need to or must be made to depend on God and must call for you to trust Him for some breakthrough or some kind of something in that area. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? We must always look for an opportunity. When you don't feel stretched or challenged in your faith, you are beginning to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need to always find a new opportunity to reach out and trust God in faith for what only He can do. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. So last week we mentioned that the first area where we're going to need to apply faith is in the area of our relationship with God. Hallelujah. We have to relate with God by faith. Hallelujah. You don't have to feel God. You don't have to feel His love. You just have to trust God, and you have to trust that God loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you pray for forgiveness, you don't have to feel forgiven. You just have to trust that God said, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you have met the requirements, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. So if you have confessed your sins, then you can have faith that God is faithful and God is just and God will forgive you and God has forgiven you. Hallelujah. So it doesn't depend on whether you feel forgiven or not. Hallelujah. When you come to a place to pray, the Bible says where two or three are gathered in your name or His name, there He is in their midst. God said, if two of you gather in my name, I am there in your midst. God said, if two of you come together in my name, I will be there too. So when two of you come together in His name, you need to have faith and say, God is here. Hallelujah. Do we feel His presence? That's beside the point. Hallelujah. Do you feel that God is here? That's beside the point. God is here because He said He will be here. Amen. If two of you gather in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So our relationship with God must be lifted beyond the realm of feelings. Hallelujah. Amen. We must take it outside the realm of our feelings so we can trust God to have a good relationship with Him. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Your relationship, your future in the Lord must also be based on faith. Amen. 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 you must trust God that 5 years from now you will still be in the faith. You must not be afraid of falling away. Even though a lot of people may be falling away, you must trust God that you will make it till the end. When you think of yourself in the future, think of yourself as a Christian. Include God in your plans. Hallelujah. There was a time when we used to go to a certain fellowship, you know, a certain meeting, and we would go there. And a friend, I remember some friends of mine would get together sometimes and would be dreaming about what we'll be doing in the future. And I remember one day one of them said, well, for me, when I grow up on Sunday morning, I'm going to buy myself, he said he was going to buy himself a sports car, and on Sunday mornings he would go to the beach and relax. So I said to him, do you realize that this future doesn't include Sunday morning church? You see, you don't seem to be planning, or your perception of your future does not include Sunday mornings in church. Your future plans don't include Sunday morning in church. When you see yourself 10 years from now, you don't see yourself in church. Rather, 10 years from now, you're trusting that God would have blessed you so much, you would be at the beach relaxing on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. So think of yourself, plan your life, plan your future to include God. And you must believe that God will keep you, that you will not backslide. That yes, many young people backslide. Many people backslide in their old age. See, sometimes as you get older, you see so many things that take away your faith. You see so many deaths. You see so much misery. You see so many divorces. You see so many unfortunate things. You see so much tragedy. You see so many things happen to people that you can just, you know, become someone who doesn't believe in anything anymore. You just exist. Hallelujah. But you must trust God that your faith in Him will stay intact no matter what you see. No matter how many bad things you see people go through. No matter what you experience yourself. Hallelujah. No matter how much you see in terms of tragedy and so many things that happen in life. The news we hear, the bad news, and so many things. Sometimes you would see people who are sick and we pray for them and they'll not get healed. And they're going to die. People who die after the most powerful pastors have prayed for them. Do you see? But you must still believe that you're going to continue believing. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is able to keep us from falling. Amen. And to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. So one day God will be happy to see you in heaven because you kept the faith. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. Now the second area of your life where you're going to need to apply your faith is in the area of having your personal needs met. Amen. In the area of having your personal needs met. Hallelujah. You're going to have faith that whatever you need in your life, God will provide it. Hallelujah. You're going to have to trust God that He will provide every need in your life. Amen. Amen. Every human being has a need. Isn't it? Yeah. There is not a human life that has no need. Sometimes you meet people who say, I don't need anything. But even those people need something. When you look closely enough in your life, you're going to find that there is something you need which you are unable to provide for yourself. Hallelujah. And that's where the Lord comes in. You're going to have to trust God by faith. Hallelujah. As you grow up, as you advance in life, as your needs multiply, as your life gets more and more complex and gets more and more sophisticated, because as you go along, your life actually moves from being very simple to eventually becoming very complex and very complicated. Hallelujah. when you're a young and single person, your life is very simple, even though then, even then you think it's very complex. But relative to what it can become, your life is really very simple. Hallelujah. But as you go along, you see that it gets more complex. You have issues that come in that you weren't expecting. You have bills that roll themselves into your life that you can't do without. You have challenges and difficulties, sometimes even with your health. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes new issues introduce themselves and add themselves to your life that create new needs in your life. And that is where your faith in God must kick in. Hallelujah. There's a powerful verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. My God shall supply. Everybody say, "My God shall supply." Say, "My God shall supply." Hallelujah. Amen. Notice how it doesn't say God shall supply. It says, "My God shall supply." There is an element of personalization in this. Hallelujah. You have to have a relationship with God where you see him as your supplier and as the supplier of your unique needs. Can I have an amen? You have to believe. It says, "My God shall supply all." Say, "My God." Say, "He's my God." Say, "I have a God. I have a God." Do you have a God? Right. Hallelujah. Then the Bible says, "He shall supply." Say, "He shall supply." Say, "He shall supply." He shall supply. What about "he shall supply all"? Huh. Think about it. How many needs are in your life? You need to trust God to supply all. Hallelujah. Say, "My God shall supply all. My God shall supply all." Hallelujah. You need to take some time and sit down and make a list. Make a list of all your personal needs. I'm talking about needs that are unique to you. Needs that you have because you are you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, because our needs are often related to who we are. Sometimes it is because you are you that you have the needs you have. If you were another person, you wouldn't have those needs. But God didn't make a mistake making you you. So it's okay to have the needs that you have. But now you need to embrace him as a supplier of those needs. Your very own personal supplier of those needs. Your personal supplier of those needs. Hallelujah. Your personal supplier. The one who comes, like the gardener who comes to my place to, you know, fix the lawn and so on. I mean, when he comes to the area, he's coming to me. Do you understand? There are many houses and so on in the area, but he is my gardener. We call him my gardener. He is coming there because of me, and he's coming to take care of my unique gardening needs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you need to bring God to that place in your life as someone who will supply. He says, "But my God shall supply all my needs." Hallelujah. Say, "He will supply all." Say, "He will supply all." Hallelujah. That includes your tuition. He will supply. He will supply. He will supply. Hallelujah. See, the world has taught us to do things with loans. Do everything with a loan. The world says you can keep dreaming, but now make your dreams come true with a loan, instead of making your dreams come true with faith. Hallelujah. Why do you have to have faith when you can go for a loan? Why do you have to have faith when you can go for a loan? Why don't you just walk into a bank and ask them for a loan? And if you need to use faith at all, use the faith to guarantee the loan. Use the faith to guarantee that when you ask them for a loan, they'll give it to you. But God wants us to reach out in faith and trust Him. Trust Him for your needs. Trust Him for a place to stay. Trust Him for a car to drive. Trust Him for money in your pocket. Trust Him for money in your bank account. Trust Him to be able to meet all your bills and to be able to pay all your bills, because He shall supply. He says, my God shall supply all your need. And He says, it's according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God it's according to His riches. It's not according to what you earn. Hallelujah. It's not according to what you earn. What you earn is so much, but it is according to what He has. And thank God you don't know how much there is. Do you know how much He has? You don't know it. You see, so that right there gives you an opportunity to take a chance in faith. Because you don't even know how much He has. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I gave you a check, a blank check, and I say write any amount you want on it, and I add that be careful it doesn't bounce. You see, now you have this difficulty or challenge of writing something that will work. And you don't know how much I have. Do you see what I'm saying? So you have to write by faith. God says that He will supply our need according to His riches. That gives you an opportunity to trust Him. Amen. So we must trust God for our needs. Pastor Charles, we need to trust God for your needs. You need to trust God to bring your wife down to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. And soon. Amen. Yes. You need to trust God. Instead of looking at the obstacles all the time, instead of looking at the things that make it impossible, instead of looking at and analyzing and putting fear in yourself and allowing the evil heart of unbelief to take over your heart, begin to trust God. Amen. Begin to trust God. Amen. God shall supply all your needs. God will supply. Amen. God will supply. Amen. You say, how? That's exactly what faith is. You're not supposed to know how. Because it's the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Amen. If everything that we can have is what we can see, then our lives are very limited. Are you getting what I'm saying? If our lives are just limited to what we can see, then our lives are very limited indeed. But through faith, you are able to include things you can't see in your life as though they existed. Do you see what I'm saying? Through faith, you are able to include, because the Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. You get it? Something that was otherwise unseen, something that did not exist before, faith allows you to include it like a hard copy in among the things that really exist. Faith allows you to bring something from the future, or something that's just a dream. Faith allows you to begin to enjoy it even right now, and to begin to live as though that thing existed. Hallelujah. So you need to reach out with faith for your personal needs. Hallelujah. You need to have faith that God will supply according to His riches. Amen. If it's according to His riches, then it means your limitations don't count. Amen. If it is according to His riches, then what you can do or can't do doesn't matter. Hallelujah. If it is according to His riches, then it is according to His riches. If it is according to His riches, then it means it depends on Him and not you. It depends on what He has and not what you have. Hallelujah. So it depends on Him. It depends on God. And we need to go back to those days. We need to go back to trusting in God. Trusting in God. Trusting in God. That you trust God that it shall be because He said so. Hallelujah. God will supply all your need. Amen. So as you grow up, your needs are going to grow up also. Is it not true? How many have found that as you're growing up, your needs are also growing? As you're growing through life and going up, you can see that different things show up now and then, and at different times, you see even your needs are changing. Do you see what I'm saying? They are changing. And God is someone you can trust to meet those needs as you go along. Can I have an amen? Amen. So say, I trust God. Say, my God shall supply. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Wow. I'm blessed. My God shall supply all my needs. Matthew chapter 6. And from verse 26. It says, well, let's start reading from verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Hallelujah. Yeah. He says, take no thought. That means do not worry about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, do not worry. Do not worry. He says, do not worry what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Do you realize we're leaving all these basic things? Hallelujah. He says, is not the life more in, he says, is not the life more than what? More than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Hallelujah. The Bible says, the body, he says, is not the body or is not the life more than meat? In other words, the fact that you are alive is not more important than what you eat. Do you understand? Yeah. That the life in the thing is more valuable than what it eats. Wow. Isn't it? Yeah. If you had a rabbit, a pet rabbit, what would be more precious to you? That it continues to live or what it eats? See, it would seem like it needs to eat this to live. Do you understand? But the Bible is saying that the life itself, the life that is being sustained by the food, is more valuable than the food. And so if God cares enough to keep or give you the life, then this is an easier thing for Him to supply. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? Because between the two, the bigger deal is the life itself. Do you see? So your rabbit goes to bed at night, and when you wake up in the morning, it's still alive. And the Bible is saying the fact that it's still living is a bigger miracle than what it will eat while it's alive. So God is saying that the fact that you are still here is and must be a message to you. That if He cares enough to keep you alive, in spite of the many things that could take your life. Every day we go through life, we have so many opportunities to lose our lives. So many chances not to live. And God is saying that if I can do as much as preserve your life, you know, why do you think I can't give you what it takes to eat? Hallelujah. Amen. It's like someone saying, if I have enough money to buy a car, why do you think I can't put gas in it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. See, when you drive a certain kind of car, then you drive around and you look at the gas prices and the influence which gas station you go to and so on. But when you drive another kind of car, you just want gas in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you see, the higher the car goes, the more expensive the kind of gas it uses. Because they assume that anybody who can buy this kind of car shouldn't have a problem putting this kind of gas in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see, the high performance cars that cost much more, those cars also use the most expensive fuel. Hallelujah. It's because the presumption is that if you can buy this, then this shouldn't be a problem. God is saying that your life itself is more valuable than the food that your life depends on. So if he can give you your life, then you can trust him to give you the food that sustains that life. Can I have an amen? So you'll be fine. Tell somebody, I'll be okay. My God will supply. Hallelujah. You will be fine. He says, or the body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Verse 26, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Hallelujah. He's talking about the birds of the air. And he's saying that there is no bird that owns a fowl. And yet God feeds them every day. And then he asks a question. Are you not much better than a bird? Are you not much better than a bird? So you can see, even in getting you to live by faith, God seems to be leading you or guiding you on a path of logic. He's just asking you, he said, just think a little bit. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't spin, they don't have any factories for clothes, and they do not have anything. The Bible says that they dress better. No, that was about the lilies. He says that the lilies look better, you know, than people who are rich like Solomon. Verse 28 or verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? That's clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Then he says, oh, you of little faith. In other words, it is because you have little faith that you have all these worries. But I see your faith increasing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, therefore, take no thought, say, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hallelujah. He says, rather, seek first the kingdom of God. He said, you just focus and concentrate on seeking God and his kingdom. And he says, he has a way of adding all these things to you. Can I have an amen? Amen. God says, I'm going to add them. I'm going to add them. What is he going to add? What to eat, what to wear, you know, what to put on the body, where to live, what to drive. He says, I'm going to, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Isn't that what it says? He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I don't think we believe it. Do we trust that God knows you have need of all these things? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that before you even think up a need, God knows you have it? And the Bible says he will add all these things to you. Rather, you just seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Focus on having a good relationship with God. And he says, all these things will be added unto you. So God has a plan to bless you. And God has a plan to meet your needs. God has a plan to supply all the needs that you have. God has a plan. You may not know how he'll do it, but God has a plan to do it. It is his intention to supply all your needs. And he doesn't want you to be worried about your life, or worried about your future, or worried about your children, or worried about your brothers and sisters. He says, do not worry. Don't take any thought. Don't take any thought. Take no thought about it means don't worry about it. Doesn't mean don't think about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you have to think about it to know that God will take care of it. It has to occur to you to know that God will take care of it. But what he's saying is, don't settle on it and dwell on it. Don't worry, don't cry about it, because God will take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. In the end, you will find that God did come through for you. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to trust God for your personal needs. Amen. Go back to the habit of praying about your personal needs. Go back to the habit of praying and asking God specifically for things that you need. Things that you need for your life. Hallelujah. Some of the needs, sometimes they are so private and they are so personal that you can't even share it with anybody that I have this need. But thank God, he is my God. Hallelujah. He's a very personal God. He says, my God shall supply. Hallelujah. My God shall supply. God will supply that need if you develop that relationship with him. That, Lord, I'm going to trust you to bless me in this area. I need money to pay for this. I need money to do this. Or I need this done. Because sometimes God may not give you the money for it. He'll give you the thing itself. How about that? Yeah. How about that? That God just gives you what you need. He gives you what you need. Other times he gives you money so you can buy what you need. Are you getting what I'm saying? But whichever way he does it, I need you to trust God for those personal needs. Amen. To walk and to live by faith. It says the just shall live. It's an everyday experience. Hallelujah. And he says he's going to be a supplier. A supplier. You see, when you have a supplier, it means that person repeatedly gives you something. Isn't it? Either on demand or even by some kind of automation or automated arrangement, the person just keeps it coming and he keeps it coming. And so God does not intend to bless you just this one time that you have a need. But he intends to be a supplier. He intends to have a supplying relationship. Do you see what I'm saying? He intends to come periodically with this. Whatever the need is, whatever the person supplies in your life, whether they supply water or whatever, you see them coming maybe every Friday or every 2 weeks or every other week. They keep coming and they keep coming because they are your supplier and they are trying to keep up with your needs. So as much and as often as you need it, they are there to provide it. And sometimes they come before you run out. That's what a supplier does. Hallelujah. And God wants to be your supplier. I said God wants to be your supplier. God wants to be there before you run out. He wants to be your supplier. I see God meeting every need in your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is going to meet every need. Your need for counsel, your need for comfort, your need for encouragement. Because not every need can be purchased by money. When you're discouraged, there's nothing they sell in the shop called encouragement that you can buy. No matter how much money you have, you can't go to Safeway or where? Costco. Or Rouse. Or Trader Joe's to buy organic encouragement. You cannot buy encouragement from any place, but God supplies that also. Hallelujah. Because it can be a real need. Comfort. Sometimes just to be comforted, just to be at peace, and just to have hope that it shall be well. That even though something terrible happened, it is well with you. Just to have that comfort. I don't know which shop sells comfort. I know a shop that sells comforters. Bed, bath, and beyond. Maybe what is beyond is the comfort. They sell comforters, but those things don't comfort us. Sometimes after you bought the comforter, you can't sleep on it. Hallelujah. But God, He knows what you need. Amen. He knows how you need encouragement, how you need comfort, how you need someone to encourage you, to speak some positive words into your life. And God knows how to supply all those people. Amen. And He says, I will keep them coming. I will keep them coming. I will keep them coming. God is a good supplier. God is a good supplier. God will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Stand to your feet and say amen. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm blessed this morning. Amen. I feel like I have faith afresh. Yeah, I feel like I have faith afresh. Fresh faith. Fresh faith. Today I want you to pray, just before we close, I want you to pray for yourself. And I want you specifically to ask God concerning maybe a need that you have in your life. I don't know what that need is, but you know it. And I'm sure God knows it too. Because according to the Bible, our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. Our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. God knows what you need. And I want you to ask Him for it this morning and say, Lord, I am trusting You concerning this need in my life. I am trusting You. The Bible says there's nothing too hard for Him. He's the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for Him. It's not too hard for God to bless you. It's not too hard. It's not too hard for God. So I want you to pray and say, Lord, I am trusting You. I am trusting You for this need. Maybe a financial need. It may be some material need. It may be some kind of a social need. A need for friends, friendships, good relationships. It may be a need in the area of your health. You know that need. You know that need. And He said, my God, my God, my God, my God shall supply. My God shall supply. God will supply all. God will supply all. All. Many human suppliers can only supply just one line of things. They can supply just one type of product or one line of things in your life. But our God is an all-capable supplier. He can supply all your needs different kinds of needs. The ones you can touch and handle, the ones you cannot touch and handle, He can still supply them. He knows just what you need. He knows how to supply it. And today I want you to turn it over to the Lord. Just say, Lord, today is the day that I begin my walk of faith with you. Today is the day that I refuse to continue carrying this burden. Today is the day that I stop worrying about this matter. Because now, at this moment, I am turning over this issue to you. Today is the day that I give up worrying about this matter in the name of Jesus. Just pray and say, Lord, it's in your hands now. And I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I don't want to be a person of little faith. I want to have faith. I have faith in you. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So it's true. I don't see it, but I believe it. I don't see it, but I believe it. I believe it with all my heart that God will supply all my needs. As a church, we need a place to meet, and God will supply it. God will supply our need for a place to meet. We need a place. God will supply it. God will supply. God will supply. Somewhere in this city, God has prepared a place for us, and God will give it to us. As the Lord blesses the church, so will He bless your life. Because you are the church. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, while every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. Or maybe you're here this afternoon and you're saying that, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I know that I'm saved, I'm born again, but I'm falling away, or I've not been serious with my relationship with you, and I want to be serious today. I want to take the opportunity of this service to be serious with you, to restore my relationship with you in the name of Jesus. While every eye is closed, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. If you're in any one of these two categories, I want to pray for you. Just God bless you. Just keep that hand up and just say, Lord, I want to be serious. Today, I want to have that relationship. I want to be serious with you. I want to be serious with you. I want to get closer, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Just keep your hand up and just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Say, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you, Jesus, for loving me and coming down to die on a cross for my sake, to take my place on that cross. Let the blood that was shed on the cross wash me. Let the blood cleanse me. Let the blood make me a child of God. Let the blood restore my relationship with you. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you with all my heart. Take my life. I want to live for you, Jesus. Say, from today, I will not live unto myself. I want this life to please you, Jesus. I want this life to be for you. So thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. And thank you for the opportunity to rededicate our lives to you. And thank you for the forgiveness of sins today. I pray, Lord, that you will bless your people. And grant, Lord, that we will now live and walk by faith in the name of Jesus. We want to live by faith because without faith, it's impossible to please you. But we want our lives to please you. And so we choose the life of faith this day in the name of Jesus. That from today, we will trust you for every detail of our lives. No matter what, our first thought will be to pray and ask God about it. Our first thought will be to pray and seek God concerning it. No matter what the matter is in our lives, forgive us all the issues, the difficulties, the challenges, and so on that we have taken on ourselves without consulting you and without praying and without asking you to take over. Today, we back off all such projects and all such situations, and we turn them into your hands. We turn them over to you, Lord, and we say, let your will be done. We trust you. We want to be the just that live by faith. We live by faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. We will no longer walk by what we see. We will not walk by what we hear. We will not walk by how we feel. We will not walk by what we have heard and how it sounds. We will just walk according to our trust in you and by our knowledge of what you are able to do. We want to be people of faith. Faith for our businesses. Faith for our families. Faith for our jobs. Faith for school. Faith concerning our bills. Have faith that every need will be met in the name of Jesus. Every need will be met. Every need will be supplied. Every need will be supplied in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have faith? How many are going to walk by faith? You walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised when what you see is different from what you believe. Hallelujah. And don't be surprised when people tell you you're stupid for walking by faith, because they don't know that that is the very nature of faith, that often what you see doesn't match what you believe. Hallelujah. If what you see equals what you believe, then it's not faith anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? But faith is to call the things that be not as though they were. Let me show you one last verse before you sit down. Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and look at this verse with me. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Oh, wow. I'm blessed. We're going to walk by faith. Verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. He says, God calls the things which are not as though they were. Hallelujah. If you were standing next to God, he would be calling something that doesn't exist and referring to it as though it's there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So your confession comes before the seeing of the thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't feel silly when you confess and say what does not yet exist. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the devil who tells you, look, you're being silly. You're not being realistic. Do you see what I'm saying? But God calls those things. He calls those things which be not as though they were. You know, when you go home, you can read Romans chapter 4. The context of this scripture is referring to Abraham, who could not have children. And God called him the father of many nations. God said, well, when I see you, I just see a father of many nations. And the man could not even have one child. Hallelujah. But the Bible says it is because God is able to make alive that which is dead. And he calls those things that be not as though they were. So be like God. Amen. Be imitators of God. And call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Say we have a mega church. Say this whole place is full. It's full of people from every place. This is a mega church. This is a mega church. This is a mega church. Hallelujah. Because we are calling those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Can you see our mega choir? Can you see a mega choir? Can you see our 10 dancers? Can you see them all coming up? I see it with all my heart. Hallelujah. You need to see it. See it. And name it. And call it. Hallelujah. When anything you call starts coming towards you. Hallelujah. When you start calling it. You start calling it. Start calling it. Sometimes you can have someone standing out there very close, but he's not coming to you. But as soon as you say, Johnny, suddenly you begin to get Johnny's attention. And Johnny starts moving towards you because you called his name. So start calling those things. Call them into your life. Hallelujah. Call good health into your life. Call healing into your life. Call financial breakthrough into your life. Call debt-free living into your life. Call breakthroughs and scholarships and forgiveness of debt and grants. Call them into your life. Hallelujah. Call them by name. And very soon they'll be announcing them to you. They will introduce themselves to you and they'll say, you called me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see it happening in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. All right, you may be seated, please. Amen.